1. We're just going to look at verses 24 to 28 this morning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. What did I say? Verse 1, chapter 24? No. Chapter 1, verse 24. Sometimes I get those things messed up. I'll tell you Genesis and be looking in Ezekiel. You just got to read my mind. God said, "Let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth." And ordinarily, when I'm teaching the book of Genesis, and I've taught it probably 5 different times, what we do is we go through verse by verse, and we cross-reference all the verses, and that's an excellent way to study. But it's an excellent way also, and it's an excellent way to teach people who are going to teach others all that stuff. But when you're trying to remember what you've heard, a good way to do it in a class setting like this is to do it topically. And so we don't deal with every subject matter that comes up in the verses, and there's a lot of stuff here that we're not going to deal with. And we're going to then deal with just one main thought that comes up here, and that's this thing he says here in verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image." And then in the next verse he said, "So God created man in his own image." See that in verse 26? "Let us make man in our image." And then in the next verse, "God made man in his image." You've got a singular God and you've got a plural of persons there. There's a plural pronoun, us and our. And so that creates some real theological hurdles for people that don't believe a lot of what the book has to say. They don't know what to make of that. Some say that God is polytheistic, poly, many, theistic gods. And a lot of polytheists worship the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the stuff that's out there. In the Hindu religion, they've got over 3 million gods in India alone, basically a god for every family. That's polytheism. And then you've got monotheism. Some people believe there's only one God and the work of the Spirit is something else and the work of Jesus Christ is something else, that Jesus Christ himself is a created God and that he carries out some other things. But when you read the Bible and you check out some of the verses we're going to today, you see that the Bible's testimony is that you've got one God and that God is made up of three persons, and we'll look at some of that. But before we actually get into that piece of the subject, let's do look at what he did on the sixth day in verse 24. He makes cattle and creeping things and beasts. And I don't know what to make of all this, but in verse 20, he says, "Let the waters bring forth the fowl, and they fly in the firmament of heaven, and also the fish and the whales." And then he says, "Let the earth bring forth the cattle and the creeping thing and the beast after his kind." And I don't know what to make of all that. But it's like something with the fowl. They lay eggs. Fish lay eggs. There's some similarity there. And these other animals basically, not all, but basically birth their young alive. But then some of them lay eggs like spiders. Right? And so I'm not sure what to make of the earth bringing forth something and the water bringing forth something. But you can know God always is very precise in what he says. There's something to it. You can be sure of that. Now he says cattle and creeping things and beasts. Well, when you read in your Bible, you're going to read the word cattle, and that's going to include some four-footed domesticated animals like sheep and swine and goats and cattle, like the cows type cattle. Not just the way we use the word cattle today to define cows and calves and bulls and steers. So it's a broad category of domesticated type of animals like that. And then creeping things, that's a very broad category. When I was a kid, I didn't like creepy things. And I'm not real fond of creepy things today. Now, I don't know any of you that ever been real happy about waking up in the morning to get your morning coffee or whatever, flip the light on and see a cockroach run out across the floor. That just not the great thrill of the day, you know. You'll always know whether one of those showed up in our house because the light will come on and then you'll hear, ah! You know. I had a friend of mine, honestly, this guy is the vice president of the Northern Trust Company, which is the fourth largest trust banking company in the United States of America. This guy, and to be a vice president of that, I mean, we're talking about a way up. To this day, if he walks in his house and flips on a light and finds a cockroach like in the bathroom, that dude goes through the door, out the front door, I mean, he's gone. I didn't like creepy things. Well, creeping things fall in all kinds of categories. Things like turtles are creeping things, and all the way over to grasshoppers that have wings and can fly and also creep and jump and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff, I listed a few of them in here for you, beetles and weasels and lizards and all that kind of stuff. They're all in the creeping thing category. Very broad category. Beasts, basically wild animals. Although we talk about beasts of burden, and honestly, it's hard to tell which way a donkey fits, for instance, whether it's cattle or otherwise, but lions and tigers, bears and hippos and elephants and all that kind of stuff. Beasts. So he created these things in these various categories, but notice, after his kind, after his kind, after his kind. It just reaffirms once again there is no such thing as evolution. Not the Bible. There's no way you're going to jam the two together and come out with something that God did in evolution. Because evolution says it jumps through the categories of species. This thing says everything comes after his kind. The way the Bible is written. The way that it comes out. The way that God did it. Then he says this thing here. What's what we really want to look at today? Let us make man in our image. Now we're going to look at the God side of that today. And then in another study here in the next few weeks, we'll look at the man side of our image. Because if we're made in God's image, then something about God and his three persons is going to be duplicated in our lives in three persons, and we're going to want to compare those things. But because of the sake of time, we won't try to compare all those things today. Our image. Well, if God is one God, and there is only one true God, and if he says us and in our image, then what we want to do is we want to look in the Bible and we want to see, does the Bible really make a testimony that there is one God? And does the Bible show that there are three persons in that God? That's what we want to look at this morning. So I listed some verses here for you in your little handout that we can check. Let's go over there and look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and look at verse 4. The Bible says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. One. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. All right, now, Benny, if you'll turn to Isaiah 43:11, and Orville, you turn to Ephesians 4:6, and Bobby, you turn to 1 Corinthians 8:4, and David, you turn to Isaiah 45:22. Look at those. And we'll let each of these men read for you their passage of Scripture and listen carefully to what the Bible says. Now, what I've done is I've just lifted out of context for you the piece of the verse that deals with God. All right. Look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11. What do you read there? All right, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Now, is Jesus Christ the Savior? And that thing there that he read, I've capitalized for you in your little handout, but if you turn to Isaiah chapter 43:11 or look at that handout, did you notice that every letter in the word Lord is capitalized? In your Bible, when every letter in the word Lord is capitalized, that is what is called the tetragrammaton. Say, whoa, what in the world thing is that? The tetragrammaton. What that is the Hebrew word, four radicals, for God Almighty. And Hebrew writes backwards. In other words, if I were to write it here, it would be a yod, a hey, a wow, and a hey. I say they write backwards, maybe we write backwards. Maybe they do it right and we do it wrong. But whatever way, they go from right to left. And it's those four radicals, and that thing doesn't have any pronunciation. The Old Testament scribes, the Masoretes, the Jews that wrote all this Hebrew stuff and kept it coming forward, every time that they came to that word, they would change clothes, they would bathe, and they would get a new quill, and they would write that, and nobody spoke it. And in the New Testament, when you read about Jesus Christ, it says He had a name written which no man knew but Himself. It's that name. And He says there, I am the L-O-R-D. So it's a reference to God Almighty. Some people pronounce this thing Jehovah. Some pronounce it Yahweh. It could be a number of things. They don't know how to pronounce it. But that word, L-O-R-D, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. If Jesus Christ is the Savior, and yet that speaking about God Almighty, one of them's lying, unless they are the same. And if they are the same, then the person who spoke that is also the person who came manifest in the flesh with the name Jesus Christ that died on the cross to save you and me. You see, that's what you read those things, and sometimes you're not thinking through what you're reading, but He excludes everybody but Himself. And yet the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Savior. All right, who has Ephesians 4:6? Or we'll read that for us real loud.
One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all.
All right. The testimony of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians is there's one God and Father of all, just one. All right, 1 Corinthians 8:4, Bobby. There is none other God but one. Now, you see, it's a tough situation when you start reading through the Bible, because if Jesus Christ is a created God, and yet the Bible says there is none other God but one, then you're going to have two gods, at least. And if you have that, then you're making, with that interpretation, the Bible not say what it says. And therefore, the Bible contradicts itself. Well, that may be a convenient way to handle it. If you can get the Bible to contradict itself, you can throw out what you don't like in the Bible and keep what you want to keep. And then you don't know where you are and certainly don't know how to lead other people where they need to go. You understand that? Sure. Okay, Isaiah 45:22.
Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else.
Well, I'm sorry about the typographical error in your little handout there, but I am God and there is none else. So, this is some of the verses. If you study out your Bible, you'll find a lot more. But those verses will show you that the testimony of the Bible is there's one true God. All right, but when we talk about the Trinity, and that word doesn't show up in your Bible, but when we talk about the Trinity, we talk about one God in three persons. He says, let us make man in our image. So let's look at some of the verses that show that the true God exists in three persons. And we all want to look at this one together. Look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Now, that's the epistle of John. First John chapter 5, verse 7. First John, that's the epistle of John. That's way past the gospel there, right up close to the book of Revelation. Chapter 5, and look at verse 7. All right, the Bible says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You see that testimony? Now, I told you when we started, there are a number of religions that don't believe that. Do you know that the modern Bibles remove that verse? That verse is not in the modern Bibles. It's gone. They either take verse 6 and split it in two, or take verse 8 and split it in two, so that when you get to the end of the chapter, it still has the same verse count, but that verse and those words are gone. They're either relegated to the footnotes, or they're out altogether where you can't find them. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, that's the clearest testimony in your Bible to the Trinity. And it would be no surprise to know that that one has been removed. You can't find it. If you've got a modern Bible at home, check it out. Check it out. Now, somebody will say, well, what about that word thing? That doesn't necessarily mean Jesus Christ. Well, when you have time, just write these verses down next to that. And just when you have time, go home and read John chapter 1, verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 14, and John chapter 1, verse 17. John chapter 1, verse 1, 1 verse 14, and 1 verse 17. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory, even as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 17 says, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Word's Jesus. All right, look in John chapter 10 now. This is the Gospel of John. Look at John chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus Christ is speaking. It's one of the great things when you have something called a Bible study is to hear everybody going through the leaves of the Bible to look it up. John chapter 10, verse 30, this is Jesus Christ speaking, and He says, I and my Father are one, period. I talked to somebody one day who didn't believe in the Trinity, and I showed them that verse right there, and they said, well, that doesn't mean that they're one. It means that they're one in fellowship. I said, well, if He meant to say one in fellowship, why didn't He say it? He said, no man has come down from heaven, but even the Son of Man, which is in the bosom. He's talking on the earth. When He says that, He's talking on the earth, and yet He's talking about Him being located up there at the same time. He says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but He that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, while He's talking. You're not dealing with any ordinary citizen when you're dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, you know the baptismal formula? When somebody gets baptized, you know the baptismal formula? I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Did you notice He didn't say, I baptize you in the names of? The names of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He said, I baptize you in the name, singular, of these three people, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, then that would mean they have a common name somewhere. And you know what the common name is? I wrote it down for you in the book, in the deal here. The common name for those three people is the Lord. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 20, and we don't need to turn there now, I've picked out five verses for you where God Himself says, I am the Lord. And then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. The Bible says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So you hear a guy take the name of Jesus Christ in vain, that's not the Holy Spirit speaking, you can be sure of that. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, Jesus is Lord. So that's who He is. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, we like part of this verse here. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But look what the first part of that verse says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, the first part says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Another place Jesus is talking, He said, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So you'll find this interesting when you do your own studies through the book of Acts. Through the book of Acts. You're going along there and this Gentiles get saved. A guy named Cornelius. And when he gets saved during Peter's preaching, and at the end of that chapter in verse 48, it says, and he was baptized in the name of the Lord. The name of those three people. So interesting stuff there. Now, 1 Timothy 3:16, you don't need to turn there, I've got it listed here, but you're familiar with this. He says, great is the mystery of godliness. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. How many of you knew that verse? Just a few of you? Better turn there. Better turn there. It's a study. One of the great things about study is repetition. One thing great about repetition is it helps your memory. If it helps your memory, it'll help you find it. 1 Timothy 3:16. Now, if most of the modern Bibles have messed with 1 John 5:7, you can be sure they will mess with this verse too, because this clearly shows you that the man in the flesh is God. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Paul says, hey man, there's no question about it. This is a great mystery. This is a great controversy. Great mystery. God was manifest in the flesh. Seen of angels, justified in the Spirit, received up into glory. That's the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ you just read right there. God was manifest in the flesh. You see, the Bible's testimony is there's one God, but He exists in three persons. And the problem we have is that our little pea brains can't comprehend that stuff. But I'm going to give you an illustration here in just a minute. Let's look at one more verse in Acts chapter 5. Now, a number of you, when we started this study this morning, said, yeah, I believe in the Trinity, but didn't know where to look for the verses. So I'm just giving you a few of them. There are more. There are quite a number of more. Well, this will just give you a little bit of stuff to sort of get you pointed off in the right direction. Our faith is based upon not what somebody taught us or some fundamental, but it's based upon what the book says. Acts chapter 5. This is Ananias and Sapphira. Look in verse 1. A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now the problem is they represented that they sold the property for the amount of money they were given to the church when in fact they were keeping back a part of it. So it was a lie, a false spirituality. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? See that? And to keep back part of the price of the land. Verse 4. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto whom? God. What did he call him in verse 3? I'm sorry, I made another misprint. I put verse 5 down on your deal, and it's Acts 3 and 4. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. He called him the Holy Ghost in verse 3. He called him God in verse 4. That's because He is God. All right, that's pretty interesting material there. Now I'm going to give you something. There are several things in the earth that point to one God and yet three persons. One of them is that sun out there. The sun is one thing, we call it the sun, and yet it has three different kinds of rays. Heat rays, light rays, and actinic rays. Heat rays you can feel, but you can't see, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. You can feel Him, but you can't see Him. Light rays, Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Light rays are like the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see Him, but you can't feel Him. And Jesus Christ came, and He was seen of men. And actinic rays are like God the Father. You can't see those, and you can't feel those. Neither can you see nor feel God the Father. So the sun is a perfect picture of the Trinity, in that it's got three different things in it, and yet it's one sun. All right? But there's something else, and I put that in your little handout here, and it's called the triple point of water. I think what I'll do is get an easel so I can diagram some things for you sometimes on a marker board. I've got the board back there, but I don't have an easel, and I'll have that because it's kind of an interesting chart. The triple point of water. The triple point of water is this. Let's just start where the deal is. Water is formed as a result of two things. Hydrogen, two units of that, or two molecules of that, and one of oxygen come together, H2O. That forms water. But water takes on three different forms: ice, vapor, and liquid. Solid, vapor, and liquid takes three forms. All right, if you reduce the temperature and reduce the pressure on H2O, it's going to always stay in a vapor form, even if it's freezing. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Ice forms when you drop it below 32 degrees Fahrenheit because there is a certain amount of pressure in the atmosphere applied to that liquid. But if you can reduce the pressure below this atmospheric pressure that we have here, it'll turn into a vapor. A good picture of that is like the dry ice that smokes off like that all the time. All right? If you increase the pressure like we have in this atmosphere and drop the temperature to 0 degrees Celsius or 32 degrees Fahrenheit, that liquid will turn into ice. If you increase the temperature or increase the pressure, it'll turn into liquid. So H2 has three different forms. Well, in your little handout I showed you, if you drop the temperature to 0.01 degrees Celsius, that's 1/100th above Celsius freezing. 0 degrees Celsius is freezing. If you raise it just 0.01 degrees Celsius and reduce the pressure to 0.006 atmospheres, you will end up where water, H2O, turns into all three at the same at exactly the same time. Ice, liquid, and vapor. All at the same time. Simultaneously at that point. That is a perfect picture of the Trinity. That's all H2O, but there is a solid, a liquid, and a vapor simultaneously. Pretty wild. Pretty wild. God preserved a little something for us, even scientifically, so we could get a glimpse of how it is possible for one thing to show up in three ways. Just like God is one, God shows up in three persons simultaneously. Simultaneously. What we wanted to do today is just answer the question, what is this us and our? Because if you wanted to answer the question of what all these are, there's lots of things that they do. They have the image of God, but they're not creative. They don't have creative powers. When you look at all the stuff about the angels, those are ministers for the Lord, but they're not creators. Okay, Father, we thank you for the Bible, and we ask you now to bless our little time of fellowship here together for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may rejoice in the preaching, teaching, singing of the words of God for Jesus' sake. Amen.